Hello, Columbus. Hello, Chattahoochee Valley. Hello, everyone down near the Georgia-Florida line. Shout out to my people over in Marion County. I tell you, everyone all over the state watching you guys on the commercial down there, you know what I'm talking about. We don't have to say anymore, but you represent West Georgia good over there, and we appreciate y'all. We're coming toward the end of the year, you guys, and it doesn't seem like COVID is slowing down at all. So I'm going to remind you again, please, 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 wherever you go, make sure you are wearing your mask. Please make sure that you are using your hand sanitizer and make sure you are washing your hands, because this virus is coming back stronger. We are experiencing more cases now in the United States than we've ever seen. Just earlier this week, close to 3,500 people were dying a day. The CDC still believes we could easily get up to over 4,000 deaths a day. That's 4,000 people. And right now we have lost over 300,000 people here in the United States. And if you look at the people that have contracted the virus right now, it's almost one in every 1,000 people that live in the United States that have contracted this virus. And also keep your eyes open, because right now health professionals are detecting a new strain that's coming out of the United Kingdom area. And that new strain, it is a little bit more aggressive and a little bit more deadly than the one that we're currently experiencing. And so we certainly got to be on the lookout for that. So let's make sure that you are taking your COVID precautions. And then I also want to say to you guys, get ready for a new year. This is our last Sunday of Sunday Conversation. And the irony of this show being the last show for the year for me is that last year, my last show happened to be talking about the crime here in Columbus, Georgia, because it was a big problem. Well, this year is worse than last year. We are already up to 45, potentially 46 deaths, depends on how you classify a homicide here in Columbus, Georgia. We're not going to get in the semantics of what's this or what's that. You know, 45, 46, either way, that's way too many. And so I wanted to bring on a guest today to talk with me about this topic. An amazing lady who's been doing work throughout her community, throughout our community, through her church and through her organization, SAVE, and just trying to reach our community, trying to reach our community leaders, trying to help us develop a comprehensive and community-driven plan to really work on our crime issue that we have here. And so I'm glad to have Pastor Dr. Delta Outley with me on the phone today. How are you doing, Dr. Outley?
I am well. I am blessed, and God has really favored me. I'm glad to be able to come on your show and have this conversation, which is not a very pleasant conversation. But let me first of all say thank you in Columbus and region for having me on your show today. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad to have you on in your capacity as a friend, as a pastor, as a community leader. But I too am very saddened about this topic that we are having to discuss. 46 homicides for the year, Pastor Outley. 46 for the year, and we still have a few days left. What's going on? What is the problem?
Well, I see several problems. One is that we must address the elephant in the living room, that many of our murders and homicides in Columbus and Phoenix City in our region happen to be black-on-black murders, black people killing black people. That's one. Number two, a high number of our murders are young black males in our community, some from very fine families. And number three, unfortunately, I have not heard from any of our elected officials on any level, and that's very disheartening when this is a city problem. So there's a level of frustration that I've witnessed during ceasefire week here in Columbus, Georgia.
You know, and those are some very, very valid points. You know, I remember a few years ago when we tried to have this discussion about gangs in the community here in Columbus, Georgia, many of our leaders were just flat out denying that we had a gang problem. If I'm not mistaken, Greg Countryman was the first elected official, public official, to say out loud, and it was on my radio show, that we have a serious gang problem here in Columbus, Georgia, and people ignored that for a long time. We're experiencing the consequences of that right now, Pastor Outlet. Do you think it's too late for us to intervene in this?
It's never too late, but Columbus Historical have a cycle where we like to get behind the problems after they occur, and we're not proactive, we're not unified, we don't strategize, we don't mobilize. So it's never too late, but we are in the ninth inning for sure. We're right at the place of seeing a crisis of murders and homicides in our community, and unfortunately, to our listening audience, it happens to be black-on-black crime. Black Lives Matter is an ultra movement, and we've marched, and we had peaceful marches, rightfully so. But I'm to the place, when will we value each other's life and not take a life and leave two families distraught, one that died and one that was the perpetrator?
Right, right. And you're absolutely right, because at the end of the day, you do end up having two families that are at this point forever impacted, because one has lost a loved one, and then you have another family that, you know, for the most part, to some of them, it may feel like losing a loved one, because, you know, there will most likely be an extended period of incarceration once that person is caught. And ultimately, you're going to get caught, you know. So you know, things are too advanced now. There's too many cameras everywhere. We always know what the getaway cars look like. We know what everything else looked like. So, you know, those attempts to do these crimes and think you're going to get away with it, it's really not going to happen. But I want to pivot back to something that you said. You know, I have taken a lot of heat for my criticism of our elected officials. And I'm just going to be honest with you. When I look at an elected official, I look at someone who volunteers to do a job of service for our community. And when you volunteer to do that job of service for our community, you are saying, I want to be the person that represents you. I want to be the person that helps lead our community. It's not a position of royalty. We don't have kings and queens. And we certainly don't have people that sit on pedestals. Your elected officials should be people that's not afraid to put on their tennis shoes. First, they need to have the energy to put on the tennis shoes and put on some blue jeans and some T-shirts and hit these streets and talk to these community leaders, the ones that are really out there struggling with this problem that we're having, and actually have real conversations so that they can take that back to the government table and say, this is how we begin to address some of these challenges that we see in our community. And we don't see a lot of that, Pastor Allen. And then when you speak up on that, people act like you have said something wrong. Like it's illegal to have expectations of our elected officials. You know, am I reading that wrong?
No, I have seen and witnessed the same thing, and the frustration set in. We have 45, possibly 46 murders in our city. And the same people that come to our churches and they seek us as pastors and they want to meet with us privately to vote for them or to back them up. And then when there's a major issue, gang issue, or if there's a violence issue, gun violence, domestic violence, lack of recreation for our young people, they do not show up. I, too, have a problem, and I think we need to make it known at the polls next election. If you don't show up, then we're going to vote you out with not any hesitation. It's not personal. Our lives are at stake. So, no, you're not reading into it wrong, and very few people will stand out and say that because they are friends or they have been friends with people 40 and 50 years, and they don't want to rock the boat. But at this time, I think it's time that some people rock the boat if our elected officials do not stand up and do what they were elected to do in our community.
And, you know, and I've seen you out there. I know that you're friends with them like I am, too. But our friendship doesn't prevent me from holding you accountable to the position in which you've been elected. As a matter of fact, I consider myself a better friend because I am bringing it to your attention that there are some serious voids in our community that needs to be addressed, and they're currently not being addressed. I like the type of friends that tell me about my flaws. I don't want friends that's going to pander to everything that's going well and watch me make mistakes and not tell me about those mistakes. That's not true friendship, in my opinion. That's just people who want to benefit from being in my inner circle. So I think that it's okay for us to have those public conversations and hold accountable the people that we elect. We do it when it's a Democrat and a Republican. So why we can't do it when it's a nonpartisan seat and people don't declare their party affiliation, but you can still hold them accountable. I'm not going to beat that horse, Pastor Outlet, anymore. I've talked about that all year. I've talked about that with you before as well. And I just appreciate you for having the courage and the wherewithal to have this respectful but accountable conversation. And it's okay for us to do that. Now, I want to pivot here a little bit as well. I think, you know, it was my opinion, Pastor Outlet, that this past weekend here in Columbus, this past week, we saw the crime elevate to a level we have never seen before. A family, well, I'm not going to say never seen before because each death is extremely tragic, but a family and friends were out there mourning the death of someone that had been murdered in Phoenix City, right here in Columbus on Brown Avenue. And there's video of this floating around Facebook. A lot of people have seen it. You have seniors out there. You have old ladies out there. You have babies on hips, Pastor Outley, out there sucking on pacifiers. You have families out there emotionally disturbed. And then out of nowhere, all you hear is an engine rev up and pop, 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 about 20 rounds of gunshots into this innocent crowd. Into this innocent crowd. That should be the straw that breaks any camel's back in this city. As if the Upatoi situation wasn't enough, but that right there alone should be the straw that breaks any camel's back. Because when our seniors and when our children and our babies can't peacefully stand and on someone's private property and enjoy themselves and comfort each other and hug each other and cry with each other, when they can't do that peacefully because folks want to drive by and shoot out windows with guns and stuff, we have an elevated problem here that takes and requires and demands a very aggressive response. We can't just sit back on that. What's your thoughts on that incident, Pastor Outley?
Outrage and just in awe of someone having the mindset to think that that's okay and that is nothing going to be done to me. I'll never be called outraged because that's telling me we cannot even gather in our climate and in our community in Columbus, Georgia for prayer, to mourn, even in our churches when the doors open again after COVID numbers are down. It is appalling as a pastor and as a leader and as a woman to have grown up in Columbus, Georgia, where we used to play on the streets until the street light came on and we played with our neighbors and we stayed out late during the summer and we did not experience this. And now to see and witness what happened on Sunday at Brown Avenue, it is just outrage. It's outlandish. It's just disheartening. And then again, no elected official spoke to this. There was no press meeting. There was no rallying to say this will not be tolerated in the city of Columbus, Georgia. Now, I did speak with the chief of police, Chief Blackman, and I did speak to Sheriff-elect Greg Countryman. They are very concerned, but it's going to take us to get concerned and to really, really stand up against this type of violence in our city. So I'm just appalled.
You know, Pastor Ali, I'm glad you brought up soon-to-be Sheriff Countryman and our current new Chief of Police, Freddie Blackman. And shouts out to Freddie Blackman. How amazing was that, that he came in and gave those promotions to so many people of color that warranted many, many years ago, but just was not giving to them for whatever reason. Y'all fill in the blanks. But they, but to see people like Consuelo Franklin, and I'm going to ask you, and Katina Williams, and those black women that have worn our uniform and worn it in the spirit of women like Shirley B. Winston, who served us from a law enforcement perspective, you know, and did it with pride and wanted to do it to protect our community. You know, I'm just so proud of what Chief Blackman has done. And I think that act alone shows that there's going to be a new tone in the police department. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do. I'm excited to see the work that he's going to do and the cooperation he's going to have with our new sheriff, because I know that it is going to be absolutely great. It's going to be encouraging for our community. It's going to be groundbreaking for our community, and it's going to help us get a lot of these problems that we have here in order. But just to go back to that video for a second, Pastor Allen, because those who haven't watched it, I really want them to understand how graphic this was. You wouldn't think that that was less than a mile away from many of our homes, you know, and well within many of our communities here. I have an 87-year-old grandmother. Mm-hmm. And when I heard those shots ringing out, and when I heard that woman cry out, you can tell it was an older black woman, when she said, in the mighty name of Jesus,
yes,
protect us right now. And she said that in the middle of the shots, and something just pierced my soul, because I could feel the terror in that woman's voice. I could feel the fear. I could hear the fear. Mm-hmm. In the mix of the babies screaming and other folks screaming and shouting and folks running, trying to get away from these flying bullets that had nobody's name on it.
Right.
And I understand three people were hit, but none of them were deadly. And I'm just glad that everyone is safe. And when I saw that, I instantly said a prayer for everybody that was out there, because even if they did not get hit by a bullet, that's going to be a terrorizing event for them for a very long time, traumatizing for a very long time, nightmares and things of that nature. Now, I guess I'm kind of leaning on your doctorate side now, on your psychology side. Talk to us about the impact of this crime on the minds of the people in our city.
It becomes traumatic for sure. Post-traumatic stress syndrome will set in. And they will need, people will need therapy, counseling, because that's something you just don't erase out of your mind. Our minds is not set up to do that. It becomes pictured and grafted in the mind or in the psyche, where a child could carry that scar or that memory for years, a grandmother or those victims that was out there praying, they could always hear loud noises and become startled. Or they can hear squeaking tires or loud cars, and they can become frightened or have a moment of anxiety because of what was painted in their minds on Sunday evening. So it's just not, it happened and they'll be okay. It will be some after effects that these victims will, and I call them victims because they were out there praying in a public place, not bothering anybody. So they became victimized in our own city, on our own street. So there will be some aftermath on them days to come. So they do need our prayers and our support and our therapy and our counseling and our pastors standing up and being there for them. So it's just not over for them.
You're right. You're right. And you know, Pastor Ali, I was talking to one of my good Prince Hall Masonic brothers, one of my good brothers. I mean, amazing guy. He would do anything for anybody. He recently lost his mother to COVID. And he and I was just talking, you know, and I have those friends that call me and we just talk. And we all just try to be supportive to each other. You know, because sometimes the folks that are out there on the front lines in the community, even they need somebody to just check on them every now and then. You do that for me quite a bit. You call me and you say, "Little brother, how you doing?" And I appreciate that, because you just don't know how needed that is for me, because sometimes I get tired and I get beat up too. And you know, and he and I was talking, and I said to him, I said, you know, 2020 really seems like this horror movie that we're all living. You know, there's this invisible disease out there killing our relatives. We're out there killing each other, black on black crime. We still haven't seen the social, the criminal justice reform that we need to see. We still haven't quite got to the gender equality that we need, especially for pay when it comes to women versus men. We have seen a heightened and a more boldness of the racial inequality and racism in this country since that man has been in that office for the last 4 years. Thank God he's leaving January the 20th. Mm-hmm. And we have also seen him and other Republicans attempt to steal this democracy. You can't call it nothing but a coup. I studied history just like everybody else. And what they have done to try to intentionally reverse the election results of the people in the state of Georgia. I mean, they tried to steal our vote, Dr. Owley. They tried to tell us our vote was irrelevant because he didn't win this state. But they didn't challenge any states that he won. They only challenged the ones that he lost, even with them being led by Republicans. All of that coming together at a heightened level of complexity. Mm-hmm. And just messing with everybody mentally, psychologically, you know, physically, emotionally, spiritually, just pulling at every solid stitch that we have holding together this fabric of who we are, our beings, our soul, our heart, you know, our spirit, just tearing at it, trying to rip it apart. 2020 has been extremely challenging. But at the same time, Dr. Owley, even though we have been pressed with so much heartache and so much pain and so much distress, none of us cannot deny how good God still has been.
Yes. Yes.
And even if we just look within what we have, we see the blessings. And I know every Sunday you get up there and you deliver a powerful message to the people that you oversee. At your church, the people that you oversee, and I want you for a second, if you will, to just give us some words of encouragement, because there is still something to hold on to. There is still reason to have a little hope. There's still reason to teach our children to dream and aspire to want greatness. There's still a reason to excite our seniors about being able to sit on their front porches again and watch the sun go down and not worried about bullets flying over their head. There's still reason, Dr. Allen. I'm not going to give up, but I want you to give us a word. Give us one of those words that you would give over there at your church on Sunday. Give us a word, please.
Oh, well, man, abundant life.
Abundant life.
Radio. I am so excited to know that God promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And I'm going to go back old school when grandmama and granddaddy and auntie them used to say, he may not come when we want him to come, but he's an on-time God. Dottie Peoples wrote that song, but he's going to come and help is on the way. It's not well now, but the word of God say it shall be well. And the word says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. And I just believe that with a shift in our leadership, a shift in our president, a shift in our local government, a shift in our Senate, and even a shift in the house of God, that joy will come in the morning. We just got to keep the faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now faith, not tomorrow faith, not next week, but now. I need the faith of God right now. That now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If we just keep the faith, he did it for our mama. He did it for our granddad. He did it for our aunts and uncles. He did it before, and I just believe that he's going to do it again with our now faith. So we can't lose our faith, and we cannot lose the momentum to keep running for Jesus. I've been running for him a long time, and I'm not tired yet. So thank you for letting me share words of encouragement. The Bible says when David got down, and David was in a stupor, and David was going through, David said something profound. He said, I've learned how to encourage myself.
Look, Jesus.
Woo! So I just wanted to just leave those words with you that learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And Psalms 133 says that, and we shall come together in unity, and there he shall command his blessings at the place of unity. So we got to stay unified. We got to encourage ourselves in the Lord, and we got to keep the faith according to the book of Hebrews.
Pastor Allen, thank you. Thank you so much. And your church family there at Abundant Life, Full Gospel Outreach Church. Let's go ahead and put the whole name out there.
Yes, sir.
The family that you have over there in the congregation is just so loving and so caring, and they genuinely care about the community. That's why they support your efforts with the SAVE organization, because we are trying to save our community. And Dr. Allen, as I said, this will be my last show this year, because next Sunday we will be into 2021. Because of COVID, many people will not be able to have their night service watch like they would normally do if they go to church. And if they if you are planning on going to church, please wear your mask. Please social distance. I would encourage you not to, but I'm not your pastor. I'm not your leader. I know you're probably going to listen to your pastor, but keep in mind, ultimately, you are responsible for your own health. If you decide to go, please make sure that you protect yourself at any night watch service that you may attend. And Pastor Outlet, that word was absolutely amazing, because, you know, I hear a lot of politicians quoting Dr. Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, but at the end of the day, when we quote Dr. Martin Luther King, one of my favorite quotes is the one where he says, if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But whatever you do, do not stop. Because if you stop, then that's going to be the end of everything. So everybody that's listening to our radio program today, I want you to keep moving. I want you to keep going. I don't want you to stop. I want you to keep the progress, keep it going, and just know that we are fighting hard for you. We are working hard for you. This is the Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We are wrapping up 2020, moving into 2021. God bless you all. I will see you next Sunday.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns, or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.